Jennifer, happy Monday morning, everybody. Monday, January 2nd, 2023. Write that down. It's 2023 now. Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, brought to you by the Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. Tom Drake here. Who would it be? It's my podcast on board the beautiful Oceana Serena. We have arrived in Rodney Bay, St. Lucia. In all the years I've been coming to the island, it's close to 30 years, I've never come to St. Lucia this way. Normally, we dock in downtown St. Lucia. It's called Castries, but I must be sold out with the big mama mother ships because we are tendering into the Rodney Bay area along with a Windstar ship, which looks like a former Silver Sea. It looks like the Silver Dawn out there. So we're baby ships. So with two small ships, we get to tender in here, and I think it's going to work out. It was windy coming in, but it's calmed down. It looks like it's pretty good for getting in there. According to Wikipedia, because I've never been here, Rodney Bay is a popular town for tourists. It's known as St. Lucia's Entertainment and Recreation Center. You can take that with a grain of salt. Hotels here, a couple of shopping malls, and a Treasure Bay Casino. Looks interesting. I'll probably make an exception to my rule and ride the tender in and check things out. Happy New Year again to everybody. We had a wonderful New Year's Eve celebration here. I was fortunate enough to be the opening act for New Year's. I went on stage at 9:30, finished up at 10:30. I can report that the people were amazing. Everybody wanted a party. The audience was great. All the jokes worked. Because only 3 days before that, the same material went down. No, they were tough, and they were tremendous on New Year's Eve. We had a great party. All the officers were out, and the people stood in front of pictures of ice, and we had a great time. It wasn't a great time for everybody. Let's get to the podcast. People on board the Viking Orion had a terrible New Year's Eve. This is a whole new deal. Here's what you need to know about Australia. I love it, but they're anal retentive when it comes to quarantine and diseases and things like this. Whenever a ship is in Australia, I know this because my wife's a cruise director, they have to make, I think it's by law, 4 or 6 announcements a day reminding everybody not to take fruits and vegetables off the ship because they're all worried there'll be some kind of virus on their banana. And if you've ever had a virus on your banana, let's not go there. It's the beginning of the new year. Try to keep it, you know, adult. And I'll tell you a true story. I'm down in Australia. I'm in Sydney. It's got to be 10 or 12 years ago. It was with Oceana, so it was probably 12 years ago. And I suddenly fell under the weather. I mean, I was so far under. I mean, I'm in Australia. I'm down under. I was down under the under. So I went to the ship's doctor, and I say this with all respect and the love and affection, but you know, there's the old joke, a doctor on a ship couldn't get a job on land, but we happen to have a wonderful doctor from Austria on board, and I went to him because I was very sick. By the way, on another side note, I've said this from the beginning of the pandemic, and I still say it, I don't know why cruise lines do not partner up with major hospital chains to provide the medical service. How come we'll get in bed with the Guy Fieri, and Carnival will get in bed with the Emeril Lagasse, and everybody will get in bed with when it comes to food, but when it comes to the medical center, it's a forgotten part of the ship. Get involved, if you're sailing Europe, what's the number one hospital chain? There isn't chain, it's all social. What's the number one medical center in Europe? That's who you want to partner up with. That's who should run the medical center. And the same with the ships out of the United States. Cleveland Clinic, John Hopkins. Meet with them and say, here's what we want to do. We want to take some of your people and bring them on for a month at a time. We're going to give them a passenger cabin. We're going to treat them really well, and we want them to take care of our guests. There's nothing wrong with the doctors we have. Don't get me wrong, but there are better doctors. The same reason we have deals for food and deals for boutiques and deals for everything, because it's a little better. They do a little better, get involved with them. But for some reason, we don't do it with the medical center. All right, let's get back to the story. I'm in Australia. I'm sick. I go to the doctor. I have 104 fever. And he said, he's an Austrian, I have to give you the test. I assume we have some big machine they're going to roll out. No, just like COVID, he comes out with a Q-tip. He sticks a Q-tip up my nose, both sides. He goes, I'll be back, like Schwarzenegger. I wait 15 minutes, he comes back. He goes, I thought you had it, but I wasn't sure. You've got it. I'm like, what do I got, doc? It's not a birthday party here. He said, you have influenza A. I don't know what that is. So he goes, I said, is that bad? He goes, it's not good. So you know the story. They gave me Tamiflu. I was sick. Man, was I sick. 2 or 3 weeks. And I find out later it's the same thing as the Russian flu, the Chinese flu, the bird flu. It kills millions, right? And where did I get it? I got it in the Australian quarantine capital of the world. I should say Australia is the quarantine. Nobody quarantines in New Zealand the same way. over the top. But here's the story. The Viking Orion is sailing Australia. In 2022, Australia passed a new law that deals with biofoul. Biofoul are potentially harmful marine organisms, crap that catches under the hull. And according to Australia, the reason they passed these laws is because things that we don't want, pests, you know, almost like Americans, they can get into Australia because they hop on the side of the vessel. Well, whether the cruise lines didn't pay attention to this or thought it was just stupid, well, now there are such things as violating the national biofouling regulations in Australia and New Zealand. So the Viking Orion is down there. You know, normally when you go into countries and they want to break your chops, they'll have their Coast Guard come on and they'll have their U.S. For us, it's the U.S. Health and all these people. They come on with little paper hats and break your chops for an entire day, and people are just in fear of their jobs. They have them in every country. I remember being in Brazil. In Brazil, where there are more ships sunk in the port than there are actually straight up, the Coast Guard come on to make our ship was safe, and then the public health people come on in Brazil and they want to make sure that our kitchen is clean. The Viking Orion down there in Australia picked up some of these pests, some of these things, and they were attached to the hull, and they weren't aware of it, but they were inspected by the hull people, and the hull people found things on the hull. And they refused entry. Four different ports said, "I'm sorry, you can't come in because you have nasty little pests on the side of your ship." Well, the poor people that paid a fortune for this Viking New Year's Eve cruise, they didn't go anywhere. They were turned away from four ports until they could find some guys on a boat to come and clean the hull. And once they did, I guess they're going to get into Melbourne today, if they're lucky. And of course, the people are livid because nobody does livid like cruise passengers. Nobody. They're not this livid anywhere. Once they come up the gangway, livid is their thing, and rightfully so. But you know, Viking, I'm sure, is going to have to refund their money and offer them a discount on the next cruise. And I don't know if they're actually, if they're at fault for not knowing. But this thing happened in 2022 in the middle of the pandemic, and who knew? Well, guess what? The Coral Prince was down there December 23rd, and they got caught. They had some snails. They had snails on the side of the hull, and they aren't the nice snails. An infestation of snails, and not considered the dining delicacy. They saw that, and they were denied entry in New Zealand until additional cleaning of the hull could be done. So this is a new thing now. You know, I'll give you an example. When a ship leaves Europe to enter the United States, every cruise line has a massive undertaking of extra cleaning. It goes on night and day, extra cleaning. And the reality is, when they come on board, they look for a refrigerator where the temperature is 2 degrees too low, and they nick them for that. It's never about cleanliness. But anyway, they got caught, the Coral Princess. They couldn't get in until they had these guys come and clean the snails off the side of the hull. So now cruise lines going into Australia and New Zealand will have to anticipate this. And before entering Australia and New Zealand waters, they're going to have a team come and clean the hull. And I'm sure they're going to say, well, it can't be your crew. It has to be a company that deals. This is such a scam. But anyway, so I feel bad for those guests. But in a way, you know, who knew? Infestation of snails overtakes the Coral Princess. News at 10. All right, now, I have to get through this story quickly because this we could do a 10 podcast on this, but let's start with a law. In 1996, the United States Congress passed a law. It was called the Helms-Burton Law, and it was sponsored by Jesse Helms. Remember that redneck? And Dan Burton. And it was basically legislation to punish Cuba further. It was more sanctions on Cuba. Now, both of those senators were Republicans, but it was signed by Bill Clinton, a Democrat, because politics enters into everything that happens in the United States, everything that goes on. Anyway, they didn't realize it, or maybe they did, but in this law, there was a part of the law that had penalties for engaging in the use of confiscated property from Cuba. If something had been nationalized or confiscated and you used it, you were breaking the Helms-Burton law. Who knew? So the cruise lines all sailed into Cuba when Obama opened Cuba. You know, Obama opened it and Trump closed it. What people probably don't know is when Obama opened it, he made a backroom deal with Raul Castro in order to... He said, we're going to open it, but then Castro said, I need a favor. And Barack says, what do you need? And can I make any money off the deal? Can I get a Netflix deal? He said, I want you to tell me that if my Cubans escape to get away from our regime and get to Florida, you'll send them back. Because previous to this, Bill Clinton had put an executive order in called the Feet Dry Law, Feet Dry Order. It wasn't a law. You know, these presidents, they just write crap and sign it, and people believe it's legal. Anyway, from that moment on, if Cubans got to Miami on their little boats or however they got there, they got to stay. They received asylum. Well, Obama got rid of it. It was never covered by mainstream media. Think about that. You can come across the border from Mexico, but you can't come by water into Miami. Unless South Beach is a whole lot better than South Texas, in my opinion. Anyway, while that happened, this law also has already been in place under Clinton. Well, nobody paid attention to it. So when Obama opened up Cuba, the cruise line started going to Cuba. Well, it turns out there was a company called Havana Docks, and they had leases on the docks in Cuba prior to the Cuban Revolution. And the company was still in existence in the United States. The guy that had the deal was long dead. The deal was long dead, but the grandson is alive. And the grandson sues Carnival, Royal Caribbean, MSC, and Norwegian for violating Title III of the Helms-Burton Act, right? And the cruise lines went, get the hell out of here. We don't know. We went in and used it, right? And everybody thought it was like a laughable thing. Guess what? A judge in Miami, Judge Beth Bloom, who was appointed by Obama, not that it matters, but it does matter. It does matter because she's from New York, and she's a liberal Democrat, and she's a judge. And don't tell me there aren't activist judges. Well, she rules in favor of the grandson to the tune of over $400 million in damages because these four cruise lines use piers that his grandfather had the lease on in 1957. Think about this. So they ruled, the cruise lines lost, and like, well, this is stupid. We're going to appeal. We're going to appeal at least the damages, because initially they thought it was a nuisance lawsuit until the judge ruled. Now, she's a district judge. I will believe this is going to go through a lot of appeals process. But on Friday, she not ruled. She ruled again. She said that Norwegian Cruise Line must pay the grandson $110 million in damages for the use of the port. I went to that port. It wasn't worth $110. $110 million. So let's start with the fact the whole thing's a screwy mess created by politicians in 1996, and they were Republicans, and they wanted to keep the embargo going. And you know, Obama opened it up because that he was Obama, and Trump closed it because Castro was using the money to support Venezuela. It's so convoluted. If you study history, I never used to started doing this dreck. If you look back in history, you realize that our government is just one giant mess. Now, here we go. NCL has been, on Friday, was told to pay $110 million damages plus legal fees for a dock that this guy had nothing to do with. His grandfather had it. Unbelievable. Now, that's just NCL. MSC, Royal Caribbean, and Carnival, they're appealing too. They're all owed part of that over $400 million. Well, since NCL got, you know, stuck, I'm sure they are too. So I think they're going to have to go to court and try to... Now, it's funny too, because I'm reading this in Reuters. And you know what? I'm going to get more and more opinionated about this because I'm the one reading all this dreck. It's so obvious about journalists aren't journalists anymore. They're opinion people like me, but I'm not a journalist. I'm not even, I have an opinion. But at the bottom of the article by Reuters, the writer wrote that this rule, and it's true, this ruling could fuel more lawsuits by Cuban exiles pursuing claims. I mean, if your grandfather owned something back in 1957, 58, and you feel damaged, I guess you can sue under the helmet. They need to repeal this law. But the bottom of this article, the journalist wrote, this will also serve as a reminder to multinational firms of the complications that can come with doing business in Cuba, as if these multinational firms didn't understand. As far as I'm concerned, you've heard me say it before, Americans are funny. I had dinner last night with people that they were in India, and they're talking about going on a slum tour, where the cab driver said, "Do you want to go on a slum tour?" Where he took him to the worst parts of India. And we're like, we treat countries like petting zoos. And that Cuba is the perfect example. Cuba is Cuba from 19, but we couldn't wait to see it and go, "Oh, it's terrible what's happening, isn't it?" And to get back on the boat and have sushi. All right. This is another screwball mess. Happy Monday, by the way. Hey, I had the weekend off. I'm feeling much better. Thank you for all the notes. And people say, I hope you feel better. I did. I relaxed all day on Saturday, and I went out there on Saturday night, and I might have earned my pay for a change. Way back when I was doing a video update, as opposed to the podcast now, I talked about Havila Kabila. Havila Kabila is a Norwegian coastal ship, and the company that owns it is called Havila Kristuten. Norwegian. Well, and they knew this, right? They were in bed with a company called GTLK. It's a Russian financial company. Horse crap. It's Putin's private money laundering operation. And they were providing the financing. The Russians were financing the Havila Kristuten ships. Havila Kabila and the rest of them. Well, guess what? You know, the sanctions that haven't worked. You want to talk politicians' head up there. That hasn't worked. Not one bit. Sanctioning the oligarchs hasn't worked. Nothing's worked. But they sanctioned GTLK, and when that happened, everybody had to stop doing business with them. Well, they were the ones financing all of the Norwegian coastal ships that are run by Havila Kristuten. Friday, I guess, the High Court of England and Wales ruled in favor of Havila that they can get their ships one way or the other away from the Russians and operate them again. So it worked out for them. I say, in fact, the managing director, I love this guy's name, Bent Martini, that's his name. Bent Martini. We serve that upstairs. We have a bar called Martini's, and we have a Bent Martini. It's a glass that looks a little crooked that might fit here. Anyway, he said, this is good clarification for us and states that we have the full right to take over Havila Polaris, Havila Pollux, Havila Kabila. We can take them all and make a Jackie Mason bit out of it. Bottom line is, pal, might not have been you, but who's ever had the job before you, you knew who you were doing business with. Money does not have morality in the world. We know that. The greed that drives companies to do business with China and the way that they treat people and all of it, it all goes out the window if the almighty dollar is involved. We know that because cruise lines are rushing back to China, to home port out of China. Carnival's partners with China. Are you serious? The dollar has no sense of morality. It's all about greed. And as I've said, we might be down to 5 months until I no longer have a job in the cruise industry. So make sure you download this so I get enough views and it becomes immensely popular and I could be the Joe Rogan of the cruise industry. Because I made a decision on New Year's Eve. My resolution was I was going to tell you what I really think and let it go. If you don't listen, you don't listen. Sometimes, look, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but go ahead and read about this Helms-Burton law. You would not have heard about it until you listened to this podcast. You didn't know about biofoul, did you? And look, I like Australia and New Zealand, but I've said this 100 times in the past. Anybody that goes from the Caribbean to Australia and New Zealand, get your head examined. If you really like to travel, then you must go to Europe or you must go to Asia, skip China for now, and learn about the world and thousands of years of history. Australia and New Zealand, I tell people New Zealand is Chester, New Jersey with sheep. Get over it. It's nice, but you want to go to Europe and Asia and other parts of the world. But speaking of Christmas Day disasters, that is one hell of a segue. This is another lesson learned. If you're going on the inaugural of a ship, good luck, okay? Now, the P&O Arvia had its maiden voyage on Christmas. Oh, boy. And according to everything in social media, which is never very social. When's the last time social media was social? It's so antisocial, it's unbelievable. It was a disaster. First of all, understand P&O's crew-to-guest rate is 3-1. There are 3 guests to 1 crew member. And change that, too, because out of the, you know, 1 crew member, 2/3 are actually trained. It's the nature of the business after the pandemic. Are you alive? You want a job on a ship? That's the way it goes. That's why, you know, 3,000 guests, 6,000 guests compared to 500 guests, it's a whole lot better where I live. Anyway, the RV has sailed Christmas, and it was ruined. Ruined, I tell you, according to the social media, with delays, with food, booking mix-ups and overbookings, and lack of connectivity. The lack of connectivity is right up there now with supply chain issues. Anytime a cruise line has a problem, it was supply chain issues. Anytime there's anything else, we had a trouble with the internet. How the hell did you operate before the internet? How did that work? When ships like Princess and P&O become so internet-based and it ain't working, it ain't good. And according to the social media outlets, there were long queues at both the reception desk, and there always are. You're on a ship with 5,000 people, and you didn't pay a lot of money, okay? You didn't pay. You probably paid per day what it would have cost you to take the family out on Christmas, and you had entertainment, and the entertainment wasn't exactly right, and I didn't think the singer was that good, and the chair wasn't that comfortable. It goes on and on. Also, the laundromat flooded, and on ships like that, they had leakage in your washing machine, and who wants that on your Christmas cruise? The main attractions on the Arvia? Well, the main attraction is the Sky Dome. It's an indoor pool deck fitted with a retractable roof, an infinity pool, and an obstacle course. You're on a ship with 5,000 people, the entire ship is an obstacle course. Try to get around them. Thank you very much. How are we doing on time today? Am I long? Oh my God. Forget about it. This thing's 21 minutes. This is not good. The rule to make a living in the podcast business, 15, maybe 18 minutes, no more than that. Have a wonderful Monday. You learned about biofoul, and you learned about new ships never come out perfect. That's the way it goes. That's why in the restaurant business, they always have a week or two where they feed you for free. Be careful. Don't check your hull. Make sure you don't have any snails hanging on your hull, because that can be very painful on a Monday. Talk to you tomorrow. I have no idea where we'll be. Probably not unusual. See ya.